I know that our brother has prepared a message for us this evening, and I would ask that each one of you would give your prayerful attention to him and your close attention and see how the words that he speaks apply to us in our lives. And I'll give you our brother Bill Malone.
Thank you, Duane. When I was sitting out here just a few minutes before I came up here, I was thinking that, I could talk about the sins in our lives, and I told Rhea that I was going to talk about her and the sins in her life, and she assured me that 1 hour wouldn't be enough. So we'll talk about something else. I wanted to, first of all, see what people thought about the lighting system that we have up here. Do you like it quite a bit better? Yeah, I did all that work myself. Isn't that wonderful? You notice Jose is starting to move back a little farther. He's afraid I'm going to get struck by lightning. No, together we did all this work. But the point that I wanted to bring out was, you know, I just said something that wasn't truth. And yet I'm still here. I didn't get struck down by lightning. Why is that? You know, God doesn't punish us every time that we commit a sin. He doesn't work that way. I'm not saying he doesn't ever do that. We can look at the fifth chapter of Acts and see a good example of when he does do something like that. Remember that story about Ananias and Sapphira withholding their tithing? And they lied. And they lied to the Holy Ghost. That I noticed the wording in that scripture. It wasn't that they were lying to whoever was collecting the tithing at that time, but they were lying to themselves and to the Holy Ghost. And they were struck down dead because of what they had done. Now, fortunately, God doesn't do that to us every time we commit a sin, and I'm sure glad, because there wouldn't be anybody in this room right now, probably. Sometimes we can see in our lives where evil prospers, and where good sometimes does not get rewarded, at least in a temporal sense. And I think each one of us could probably see examples of those things every day in our lives. We can see instances where that takes place in our lives, that sometimes someone who does something that is wrong or evil or just not good, sometimes they benefit from it. You know, maybe from lying, or maybe they cheat on their income taxes and they end up getting quite a bit more back in the refunds. You know, it's easy to do. But they're lying to themselves and to the government. They probably won't get caught. Sometimes they do, but usually they don't. But it's another instance of where evil does not always get punished temporally in this life that we live. And we don't always get rewarded for the good that we do, at least in a temporal sense, to where the satisfaction is immediate and in a temporal state. There's a scripture that I wanted to bring out in the ninth chapter of John. I want to read that. And Jesus was walking with his disciples. And they passed by. It says in the first verse of chapter 9, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" And you know, that is the attitude of a lot of people of this world. Maybe not most of them, but I think there's a lot of people that have that idea in their mind. "And Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" And Jesus went on to heal this man. But the thing that I wanted to bring out was the fact that Jesus said, because of this blindness that was upon this man, it wasn't a case of anything that he did or his parents did. It was just one of those things that happened. And there are a lot of those things that take place in our lives, things that aren't pleasant, trials and temptations that we have to go through, not because we're being punished for something, but because that's just the way it is. I mean, look at the life, look at the example that Jesus gave us. I mean, he had a lot of trial and affliction in his life, especially right there at the end. He had more than you and I will ever have to go through. And he did that partly as an example to show us how to deal with those situations when they confront us from time to time and from each day in our lives. We are to deal with those things just like Jesus did. And he tells us in the fifth chapter of Matthew that the sun rises on good and evil, and the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And that's his way of saying that the things that happen to you in this life are not a cause of sin in your life. It's just things that you and I are going to have to go through. And all of mankind have gone through these things since the beginning of time. And it isn't going to change. No matter how righteous a life we live, we're going to go through those things. You could be just the most sin-free person in the world, and you still have to go through all of those things. I mean, look at John the Baptist. He was beheaded, not for any sin, because of evil, of course, but it wasn't him. He lived a righteous life, proclaiming Jesus Christ. And what did he get for it? Salvation. And that's the important thing that we need to stay focused on. The temporal things that happen to us in this life are going to be there forever. And how we deal with them is how we are judged, and whether we will have a place at the footstool of Christ in heaven. Sometimes we feel, and I think I can say this because I think our feelings are common to mankind, that sometimes we feel overwhelmed with the things that are happening to us. The trials in our lives, the stresses in our lives. It's probably not unique to anybody. You know, each one of you out there have different trials and different stresses and different things that you have to cope with. But you do have to cope with them. And how we cope with them is what you're judged by. You know, do you get a check mark for passing, or do you get a check mark for failing? That probably happens in our lives dozens of times each day, that these trials and stresses that we have in our lives, if we come through them correctly like God wants us to, there's a check mark by passed right by our name. You know, in James, in the first chapter of James, it starts out with, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations. You know, that's a difficult statement or thought to me. You know, I don't get up every morning and pray, Lord, I hope you give me lots of trials and temptations today. Anybody out there that does that? It is a difficult thing. It would be good if we all did that, technically, because you would have your mind set the way that God wants you to have it. I know that if you focused your lives, and I had an experience about this, that if you concentrate hard enough on just that, you're going to have trials and temptations today. How are you going to deal with them? And you go out the door looking for opportunities to serve God and to react to things the way that Christ showed us that we need to react. If you look for those opportunities, you'll find them. And if you allow God to help you through all those things and know that you don't have to handle any of them alone, you'll make it. But it takes a lot of effort and concentration and prayer, and it takes keeping His commandments, doing the things that you're supposed to do, not just going out and looking for opportunities, but you have to live your life in a manner that Christ prescribed here in these scriptures, and all the rules and regulations that are in the books that we have, you have to comply with those. How we deal with life's problems can make our own lives more enjoyable now, and we can be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. There's a little story I'd like to read in Alma, 16th chapter. Verse 127. And this is a story. Alma was speaking to the Zoramites, and some of them were coming to him and telling him about the trials and the problems that they were having they were cast out of their synagogues. And they had labored, it says they labored abundantly to build them, and they were cast out because of their poor clothing and their exceeding poverty, it says. And they came to Alma because they said they had no place to worship. And I'd like to read the response in 127. It says, "And now when Alma heard this, he turned him about, his face immediately towards him, and he beheld with great joy, for he beheld that their afflictions had truly humbled them, that they were in a preparation to hear the word." You know, sometimes if we are prosperous and everything is going good, mankind has a tendency to kind of set God aside a little bit. You know, when you really need Him, you don't want to do that. You come to Him with your trials and your problems, your stresses, your concerns. But maybe there aren't that many trials and that many concerns in your life. Mankind has a tendency, and I bet there's not a person in here that is not guilty of this at one time or another. that when things are going good, you have a tendency to move God back away from you just a little bit. I think it's a human tendency. I don't think anybody here in this room shuts him out. But we might have a little bit of a tendency to do that. And we need to recognize that throughout the scriptures, we can read stories also of what happened to people when they do that. When they start prospering and forgetting God, sometimes he shakes them a little bit. And that's probably happened to each one of us. You know, the scriptures tell us that whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. And I know that God loves each one of us in here. And I know that if we start walking down the wrong path or forgetting him, not keeping him foremost in our lives to the extent that he wants us to, you know, that might happen to you and I. He might need to shake us a little bit. He might need to humble us a little bit, because these people had truly humbled themselves. It says, and that they were prepared to hear the word. Sometimes we can't hear the word of God because we are not humbled enough. Sometimes we let pride in our lives separate us from the Spirit of God to a certain extent. You know, I don't think any of us have that problem near as great as most of the world's, but we do have it to a certain extent in our lives. And we need to remember to make God the most important thing in our lives every day. Live our lives for him, not for ourselves. I was listening to Dwayne this morning talking about this place that he went there in Orlando. Guess where I was? I was at Disney World. Had I known about that, I certainly wouldn't have been at Disney World. But that's where I was at that exact same time. And I'm sorry to say, I would have much rather been to see that that thing that Dwayne was telling us about than to be there at Disney World. But I thought about calling them and asking them their itinerary, but I thought, nah, they don't want us hanging around. So, and we had other plans at first anyway. We were going to have church service with Vern and Joyce Lussenden. And come to find out, as we were on the way to their house, I got a call and said Vern was in the hospital and Joyce was too sick to have anybody over. So we didn't go. So we just thought, well, what should we do? We had a day and a half to kill. I wish I'd have known about that. Oh, that would have been so much greater. But anyway, I was involved in doing something that I thought would be fun to do. And if I'd have looked into it a little deeper, I probably could have been there with to see this thing that Dwayne and Kathy's on. But anyway, sometimes we get involved with doing things for ourselves and not concentrating our lives on doing something that is going to be a blessing to someone else. You know, many times in the Book of Mormon, we end the Bible too. We can read stories where the Lord has punished the people in, as a whole. And their enemies have overcome them because of their pride and the wickedness that is allowed to creep into their lives. They've turned away from God, and time again we can see where the Lord punished them. And lots of times it's because of their prosperity. God gives us our prosperity. And he gives us the ability to continue coming to him with our concerns and our praise. And how we deal with it is up to us. When Jesus made the statement, "Follow me." He doesn't stand behind us and push us. He doesn't throw a rope around us and drag us. He says, "Follow me," and you have to make that effort. And I have to make that effort to follow him. You know, we all want joy in our lives. We want the type of joy that is talked about in, you know, in the Book of Mormon. I think it's the 11th chapter. No, it's in 4th Nephi. Yeah, there's in the fourth book of Nephi, chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And surely there could not be a happier people among all the people who had been created by the hand of God." That's what I want for us. I want us to be able to make that same statement. And they were happy because of their humility and their dedication to God. And they were quick to see that there was no evil amongst them, or they wouldn't have anything to do with evil. They were a very happy people. And they went on that way for almost 200 years. And then when you read about the reason that they started falling again, it was because of their pride. The pride that is common to mankind that we have to constantly work at to eliminate from our lives. The natural man is an enemy to God. So it's something that we have to work at to overcome. We don't develop it. We have it. We have to overcome it. It's within each one of us. And we have to rid it from our lives. So in this life of all these trials and temptations that you and I are going to face, how do we have joy and face all those trials and temptations and afflictions? You know, probably half the people in this room have had recently the cold or the flu that's going around. You know, it's certainly not a punishment from God. It's one of those things we have to deal with. And if we receive a blessing from God, that's great. But if we don't, so what? God has given us the opportunity to continue to serve him, regardless of the trials and the afflictions in our life. And how do we find that joy? There's a particular scripture that I'm thinking of. It's found in 1 Nephi chapter 5. Now, many of you probably know what it is. Don't look it up. I'd like to see the hands of those who know what 1 Nephi 5:122 says. Darren?
"He that is righteous is favored of God."
Very good. I primed him a little. but. That is the key to having joy in your life. When you rid your life of pride, when you can love God more than anything else in this world, and become righteous, the kind of righteousness that God wants us to have. All of us have a certain degree of righteousness in our lives. Now, can I see the hands of all of those who think they have enough righteousness in their life? I don't see any hands. Because you know what I'm talking about. We can all do better. And the more righteousness in our lives, the more we keep the commandments of God, the easier we will be able to face the trials and the temptations and the afflictions that confront us from day to day. You know, there's a story in 1 Corinthians in the 12th chapter. And again, probably most of you probably know it by heart. In the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10, it's a story about Paul and the afflictions that he had. He refers to the thorn in the flesh, which is some sort of affliction that he had. I don't know that anybody knows what it was, but it doesn't matter. He had an affliction of some kind, and he sought the Lord. It says he sought the Lord three times, that the Lord would take that affliction away from him. And did God do it for this righteous man? Did he provide to him what he asked? No, he didn't heal him. When you go to God and you ask for a blessing for yourself or someone in your family or a loved one and they don't receive the healing, does that mean that God hasn't blessed them? No. But I like Paul's statement right at the end of that scripture. He recognizes his need to rely on God because of his weakness, whatever that thorn in the flesh was. And he makes a statement that when I am weak, then I am strong. When we are weak, we're on our knees. We are humble. We are submissive to the will of God. And when we do those things, then we are strong. Strong in the Lord. To attain the righteousness that we need to attain, I'm asking each one of you to concentrate on a few things that I wrote down here. And the first is natural. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. That's not difficult for us. Each one of us, I know that we do that. But as was covered in, I guess, our Sunday school class this morning, in 14th chapter of John, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And he that keepeth my commandments is the one who loves him. And that is something that is very necessary for us to do to prosper in this land. In Mosiah, in the first chapter, verse 55, it says, if you keep his commandments, you should prosper in the land. One of the things that is so important to us is our relationships one with another. And the righteousness that we need to attain can best be attained by how we react in our relationships. You know, the 200 years of peace that those people had after Christ visited the Americas, I don't for a minute think that they had 200 years where there was no conflict. I don't think there was a time when there was no disagreements. I think they had those things. They had disagreements. They're human. That's a human tendency that God gave us. That each one of us are going to have those tendencies. We're going to disagree from time to time. But how do you react to it when you disagree? There are things that we will never agree on. I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, that in our overall church, we have that. One of the disagreements that we have is over the emblems. You know, should it be fermented or unfermented wine? I am convinced we will never know the answer to that problem, because God wants to see how we deal with it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that is something that, and there are many other things that are just like that in our lives. God wants to see how we're going to deal with those things. There are going to be conflicts in our lives. How are you going to deal with them? Going to deal with them like Jesus would? Five things I want you to do. Number one is every day of your life, for the rest of your life, I want everybody in here to do something nice for somebody else, not considering yourself. You know, and I'm saying this to a bunch of people that I know that probably every one of you are already doing that. But don't forget it. Do something every day of your life. For someone else, for their good, and because you love God, and you want to keep the commandments that the Lord has given to us. Number two, pray for humility. Pride is the downfall of society after society that we can read about in these books. The people, year after year after year, they draw close to the God and they fall away because of pride. Pray every day that pride will be taken from you and that the Lord will help you to be humble. Remember to love God first. He's got to be the most important thing in your life. And next comes to love one another. You know, there's a statement that I heard. Bernie Ritsema, most of you know him. He lives in Michigan and he comes down here for the winters. But he made a statement to Fern Lutzenden one day. And he kind of said it in jest, but there's so much truth to it. And they were talking about somebody, and Bernie says, well, you got to love him or you can't go to heaven. And there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, that is a true statement. And I think to myself, When I'm driving down the freeway and some guy cuts me off and makes me mad, or, you know, whatever it is. You know, we all have our own little things, I'm sure, that upset us more than it would somebody else. I catch myself constantly, and I need to overcome it. My attitude at that instant is wrong and needs to be corrected. And it's something that I need to work on in my life. And maybe for each one of you, I've got something similar to that. That we can't overcome it if we don't put it a little higher notch in our lives to overcome it. Make it more important. Look for opportunities. Every day of your life, look for opportunities to be of service to the Lord. Look earnestly. I want to close with one more scripture. And probably most of you know what that scripture is. It's my favorite. Mosiah 1:49. How many know what that is? Quite a few. I want to read that to you. I don't usually read the first half of it, but I want to do that. And it says, "And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom." And I always quoted just the last half of this verse. But remember that this is wisdom. "That ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. And when life comes crashing down around you, and you think the trials are too great to handle, the burdens are quite substantial, stop and think about your purpose here in life. And forget about your problems and your trials and pray for somebody else. Go do something for somebody else. It will bring joy to your life. And I know each one of you have probably experienced this just like I have. And know that that's a true statement, but I'm not trying to convince you. I just want you to remember that and think about that when trials get to be to the point do you think they're just too much. Go do something for somebody else. Thank you.